Now, being a musician, a performing musician, or just a musician for pleasure, can be a very rewarding thing. But when you're living with sight loss, performing can be a bit of a challenge. But it is doable, and I'm joined now by my friend Paul Quigley. Hello.
Hello, Simon. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And now, you've got a story. We only have a finite amount of time, because I know how you like to go on.
Yes.
But now, tell us about, you have RP, but you were in a pretty famous rock band. Oh, you still are, actually. But let's talk about Hell's Bells. Take us back to those days, the 80s.
Well, like you say, we've only got a limited amount of time, so you'll get the short version. Yeah, well, I came out of grammar school and my father wanted me to go to university and I promptly didn't. Well, I did, but I went to university in London and joined a band in London, scoured the Melody Maker, which that was the job ads for musicians in those days, and scour it every Thursday. And eventually I found a good, decent gig with a punk band back in 84 who were just turning heavy metal. And very quickly we got a record deal because we was good. I was the lead singer and the guys were from a punk band called Discharge, and we got a deal and we did singles, albums, Kerrang reviews, really, really well. And like all rock bands, though, we were kind of messed around by finances and record companies. So we kind of didn't get to the US, which is where we wanted to go. And I kind of traipsed back into corporate world and became sensible and became a journalist eventually, as you know. And across this whole time, I was losing my sight with RP. As everyone knows, it's a degenerative disease and it gets progressively worse through life. So, but I refused to let my music suffer because of this. And I carried on writing songs and singing in bands and learning my instruments, guitar, piano, etc. Through the 90s, brought me up to the present day. And recently, now that my eyesight is pretty much completely gone, which it does do, you lose your periphery with RP, and then now I've lost the acuity, which is central vision. So yeah, being a musician is, as you say, it's a massive challenge, but music is a soul thing, isn't it? It's nothing to do with, look at Stevie Wonder and Ray Charles. I mean, so it is very much a therapy for me now, as much as it used to be a vocational thing where you try and earn a living out of doing it, but now it's not really that. It's more to do with the enriching and quality of life, isn't it? So I love my music. I write songs every day. I write lyrics. I write the music, and I mess around with technology a lot as best I can with limited vision. But fortunately, there are lots of screen readers and tech around that help visually impaired blind people with music. And I'm out there performing again, Simon, like your good self.
Yeah, I mean, what are the challenges for you? I mean, I still have some peripheral vision, so I mean, and I find it a challenge. You learn ways of making it look like you're connecting with an audience, even when you might not be. But it must be even more difficult for you.
What it is and it isn't, because you kind of have, it's a bit like any sport you do or musical into, if you have muscle memory, it's the same with vision. I mean, I don't look to the outside world like I can't see, because I was able to see for a long time, was tried to make eye contact for all those years, and now it's gone now. But when you don't look blind, people expect you to kind of be your eyes disappear up into the head like with sunglasses on or something. And if you don't fit the stereotype of what being blind is, white cane, peaked cap and sunglasses, then it sometimes takes a while for people to sort of clock that you are actually visually impaired. So but I mean, what, how does one do it? Or in some ways you do it in different ways. I mean, I'm very tactile. You have to be, you're hold people's forearms a lot to be guided around. I certainly do. So I talk to people up close and personal in their personal space, and that's where I connect there. I don't try and sort of broadcast across a room as such, but it's, you kind of do it in different ways, don't you? You've got your personality, etc., and auditory, and sits. It's only one sense that's gone, remember. We supposedly have at least five senses, probably more if you believe in your sixth sense and your chakras and all that other good stuff. I mean, it's about that, isn't it? It's about how you connect, and the music at the end of the day, Simon, let's not forget, it's the music that doing the connection here, not me trying to articulate or wave to somebody in the back row. That's kind of, if they love the music, if they love my song, great, I've connected with them, they'll maybe go and buy it even, you know what I mean? So it's one of them. I think it's the song or the music that you'd put, if it's done with integrity, whether you're vision impaired or not, it's, if it's good, it's good. And for me, it means everything to me now, my music, it really does,
And the thing is, I think we don't want to be defined by our lack of sight. Therefore, I think we try and hide that. Plus, when you're out in live venues as well, you can be quite vulnerable as well. So you don't like to broadcast that as well. So it's a funny balance, that, I think, because, we can be our own worst enemy. But if you do make too much of it, then it changes the dynamic, I think, a bit.
It can do. I think people try to overcompensate for helping you sometimes. Have you noticed that they'll try and be sort of too helpful, which is great, but sometimes you don't need to be too over helped. So I think what you do, you know, in our situation, visually impaired as musicians, I mean, I would encourage people, if you have got a musical bent, you know, really do, you know, don't leave it behind. Or there is a load of tech out there, and in venues, for, I mean, it's different for live, isn't it, than when you're playing just for pleasure at home. But I mean, for what we're trying to do, perform outside and perform to people, to crowds, audiences, and even small venues. Yes, we have. I mean, I find that the problem for me, Simon, is more practical issues. It's finding the place, you know, where, you know, say, oh, it's 26 so-and-so street. But the entrance is down the side, it's behind them bins, you know. It's like, and that to me is the opposite. It's like, you know, blind Bear Grylls getting into the place. I mean, it's like a sigh of relief just to perform. It's like, phew, thank God I got here, you know. That the battle is then over, that's the challenge has been won, you know. You got there, then of course you got to get home, which is another battle in itself. If the taxi driver, he can't find the back entrance where the bins are either. So I mean, those are the issues that frighten the death out of me every day. It's not about whether or not I drop a g-string or a break one on stage, you know. I think those are the nice problem to have, mate, you know what I mean.
What are you doing dropping a G-string?
I didn't think we were on XX's adult channel here, Simon, but yeah, moving swiftly on.
What the other thing is, remember that scene in Spinal Tap where I think it's Detroit, and they keep thinking they're busting onto stage and it's another wrong turn. I find myself frequently in that kind of situation, because I can get into a building and I can be, I know where I am, I leave the building or I leave that room, and I cannot find my way back. And it's a ridiculous, well, you feel ridiculous, but it goes with the territory. And the thing is, the people that I play with, there's five of us in the band, they all know that I have sight issues, so nobody really makes a thing about it. And all it is if I need help, can you give us a hand with that? And it's never an issue. And so nobody overcompensates.
No, they don't. But I'm doing a solo project at the moment, so I have to be at different places on my own, and that is a massive challenge. And do you know what, Simon? To everyone out there, I think this is what I'm doing, the way I'm doing life, is for. It's about independence, isn't it? We talked about the Equalities Act, and that was about getting a level playing field for all and for independence of people, you know, social care, etc., is to make us independent as we possibly can be through tech and support. When you're trying to then go through the actual nice things that we get to do, in our case, music, performance and composition, to make it as nice as possible, I've challenged that by really making sure that when I am going places, I make sure that people help me. I don't have four other band members at the moment to sort of like say, oh, I'll carry that bag, or don't worry, I've got the door for you. I'm literally putting myself right up against it, thinking, no, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make the world bend to me, not me bend to the world, because we now live in an equal society, or supposedly so. And I am constantly want to put it to the test every day of my life in whatever I do, whether it's dealing with utility companies, whether it's talking about solicitors and Equalities Act and correspondence being sent out in the appropriate format, or if it's me and you playing at the local pub or rock venue or wherever we have folk and whatever club, it's making those people address our needs. And that's what I'm doing it for, as much as anything else, just to show to myself, I suppose, and others, that it can be done. And you must never, ever stay behind four closed walls behind your door for fear that it's something may go wrong. Well, it won't go wrong. It's normally your own fear that you're addressing. So deal with your own fear and you'll find that it actually it just vanishes like phantoms at dawn. Poof! Poof, away it goes. There aren't anything. You've really got nothing to worry about. And I really do think if you have got a musician inside you, get out there and do it. We want to hear it, don't we, Simon?
We certainly do. And Paul's going to play us out with a bit of a track that I really love, a track that you wrote about a friend that you lost. And it's available on iTunes, isn't it?
It is indeed, yeah. It's called Gone But Not Forgotten. And as you say, it was about a friend of mine who had issues. Funnily enough, it wasn't the sight issues, that he was just basically one of these poor people who seemed to think that there's a solution in alcohol, and died very young age, you know, early 40s. He was a great guitarist, great musician, and a really lovely bloke. And I heard that he'd passed away, and I just couldn't believe it. And I just thought, what a waste of musical talent. Now, for whatever reasons in your personal life, you know, I thought, I've got my own crosses to bear, but you just have to deal with it. So I wrote this song called Gone But Not Forgotten. And it's trying to address that, and the emotion I felt about how, you know, people, and also the sort of the brevity of human life, that we're not here forever and we need to make the most of it whilst we're here. Yeah, Gone But Not Forgotten, available on Amazon, Spotify and all good record shops, if you can even find one.
Well, Paul Quigley, it's always a pleasure to catch up with you, my friend. And
you too, Simon. Please, thank you for inviting me.
I will speak to you soon. Please take it away.
I will indeed. Thank you.
My old friend, speak to me. Don't you know things must be? I'm my old friend, I'll come to thee. Do the things must be. Could I know? Oh, yes, I know that one thing.